What is up, boys and girls of the betting world, or specifically the NFL betting world? We are here Tuesday, September 24th at 12:06 p.m. with the NFL Roundtable. Another week going over every single NFL game on the betting slate. And I'd like to start this week off with a little bit of a State of the Union address, if you will, of this National Football League. If you're one of the thousands, millions out there who have suffered and already lost your survivor, I mean, Circa Survivor, 14,000 have already been eliminated. That's down to 642 contestants at Circa Survivor, which is absolutely wild. I know that I was a part of a Bet Online Survivor. There's 38,000 in that. It's down to 2,000. So there are some crazy things happening through 3 weeks of the NFL. I know the public is suffering a little bit from an ATS perspective. I know a lot of sharps are suffering from an ATS perspective as well. It's been pretty zany, guys. I know that I've had easily my worst start in my NFL betting career, if you will, the last 5 years as a pro here, starting off in an NFL season. So on a positive note, it feels like for many of us, the only way to go is up. This is part of the game, right? We're still gambling. We're still putting our money out there. And it's a volatile sport, as we are seeing every single week. So with that, let's stay positive. Let's keep it moving. I got my New York Giants shirt on, Sam Wagman, because the New York Giants won in week three, and I can't count on that very often. And speaking of Sam, he is our special guest today on the NFL Roundtable. You can follow him at Swagman95. The fantasy football and prop betting analysis for football guys and content over there at Rhythm as well. And Rhythm is R-I-T-H-M-M. So look them up and follow Sam on Twitter. As usual, our usual suspect is here in Jake Circus with us for another week. Patrick cannot be with us this week. He is abroad. I understand he's in Spain. I'm very jealous of that. I could already use a little reprieve through 3 weeks, that's for sure. And Matt Rutledge should be joining us at any time. Follow Jake Circus at Jake Circus, as well as his podcast, the Jake Circus Podcast, and follow me at Farley Betts. Okay, boys, how was week three for you? Sam, I'll start with you, because from what I understand, you still found a way to stay in the positive this NFL season. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I'm coming off, 2 weeks of, a little bit more down to earth. Week one was absolutely crazy for me, up nearly 16 units, thanks to a couple, well-placed Sunday and Monday night football prop bets there. But the last 2 weeks have managed to keep my head above water, up a little under 2 units in week two and up just under 3 units in week three. So it's been tough, definitely starting to get, some things that are more, aligning with trends. And then the books are starting to, wise up to some of the unders that I've been seeing in terms of, efficiency coming to through. But, all in all, it's still very, very positive and, just hoping to keep looking, find some trends that I can take advantage of this week.
Smart guy is the swag man, maybe sticking away from some of those ATS sides and totals and focusing on props, maybe something that I'm going to mix in a little bit more in the coming weeks too. Just as, even though usually when we get to week four, it feels like we do have a really good idea, like at least somewhat of an idea of who these teams are. But I'm holding back on that notion a little bit, right? Because from week to week, things are just flipping up and down a little too often for me. But at least from the prop perspective, how teams are using their players, et cetera, hopefully we can at least garner some foundational knowledge in that regard. Jake Circus, week three, how did it treat you?
Yeah, two winning weeks out of 3 weeks. Best week by far for week three. Hit on, I believe I gave out two best bets on the show. They both hit with pretty much ease, Broncos and Lions. Read the market pretty well, read the board pretty well. But more importantly, we had the games read pretty well. So when all that happens, it's a good week. I think I went 8-4 overall, if you include my awful Jacksonville bet from last night. So 8-3 on Sunday, 8-4 overall, up a few units. So can't complain after a really annoying week two. Now 0-3 betting on the Titans. So maybe we'll go away from that. But we got the Panthers through.
Panthers.
We got the Panthers through. It feels really good. I'm already inducting myself into the Sports Betting Hall of Fame for that because I stayed with it. But no, happy with the week we had and ready to move on to the next one.
Yeah, I had some good choices this week. One that I left off my betting, I wish I didn't, is your Carolina Panthers. Not your Panthers, but the team that you've bet probably more than any other human that's ever existed the last 2 years. So good to hear, Jake, that the Panthers actually pulled one out for you. Andy Dalton just smoking there in Vegas, smoking those Raiders right from the very start. That was kind of fun to see, actually. I love me some Red Rocket out there on the field. Matt's going to join us any minute now. He's having a little technical difficulty clearly on his end as he pops in and pops out. So we'll get back to Matt once we start. But ladies and gentlemen, let's get started because it's week four. We have another full betting slate. I believe the bye weeks start next week. So 16 games on the slate. And let's get started with the Thursday matchup. It is my New York Giants hosting the Dallas Cowboys. Cowboys coming off that just horrendous looking game, at least in quarters one through three against the Ravens, where they just absolutely got trucked. Dak looking bad, the running game not amounting to much again, and obviously their defense, right? When you have two straight weeks, or I guess two out of 3 weeks, where the Dallas Cowboys defense is just looking that pitiful, and they're allowing that sort of offense on the other end at home, right? Like the Saints dominated them. The Ravens dominated them, at least for three quarters. It's not looking positive there for Dallas. So, you know, my gut, guys, personally, is to just want to take Dallas because this is a Cowboys team who has dominated my Giants. I've seen it. I've lived through it. Since week one last season, right, they went to New York, or East Rutherford, I should say, 41-0 in week one. Dak is very comfortable there. The Cowboys are comfortable. But this is clearly a different Dallas Cowboys team. And I kind of like the way the Giants stack up. Giants got 8 sacks against the Browns on Sunday. Truly unbelievable. A defensive front that I think could be one of the best in the NFL once they eventually come around. Maybe that's their breakout game. Love that against the Dallas offensive line. But I'm going to hold back personally here because, again, I don't want to catch myself getting too positive about my team, which is they are cyclically disappointing, and I know that more than anyone else. So probably a stay away here. But the line did open at 6. Now it is down to 4.5, fell pretty sharply and quickly in the Giants' favor, and they are hosting Dallas. Total is at 44. Jake, we'll start with you for this one. Thursday Night Football, Cowboys and Giants. What do you got?
Yeah, you mentioned it, why, you know, this would be totally a Cowboys spot. When all else fails for Dallas, when it seems like the world is falling down, history says just play the Giants and all will be okay in the world. And you know, it's really hard not to think like that as of Tuesday morning on a short week when you normally can trust this Cowboys squad historically to ride the ship and, you know, win your division games, especially against teams that are lesser inside your own division. But there was a lot to like of what the Giants did against Cleveland on Sunday. They had 350 total yards against the Browns defense that everyone thought, you know, was still very solid. I thought they were still very solid. I think that there's matchups inside of this game that favor Dallas. I still think the pass rush is really good, and the pass defense is the strength still of that defense. So that's what the Giants are going to want to do, is they're going to want to throw to Malik Nabers. And, you know, we'll see what Zimmer does here. Like, as of Tuesday morning, I have no interest here. If it, you know, keeps dipping down, maybe four under four, I can see myself getting involved. But I think this number is right. With the Giants being home here, I didn't agree with the open. Didn't really want to play the Giants there either. But the line's right now, so I'll pass here on a short week. No real need to get involved. But if it keeps dipping, maybe some injury news comes out. I could see myself playing the Cowboys here. I could still play them at 4 or 4.5, but pass for me right now.
Yeah, I agree. I think the line is right, exactly where it's at. And thank you for bringing up Malik Nabers. If there's a positive, there's going to be any positive from the Giants season, Malik Nabers, clearly the real deal. I mean, that catch in the back of the end zone where he kind of spun his body and landed in, like that's like prime Odell Beckham stuff. Like, we got a number one receiver finally, hopefully something to build around. Sam, what do you got here, Giants Cowboys?
I'm kind of with Jake here. I want to lean and take Dallas here. It's a short week. The line, you know, Giants started out as 6.5-point dogs, and that's down to 4.5 now. I think it's a pretty good spread. You know, I don't see any value for or against it. I think I probably want to just target Malik Nabers here. Continues to be the absolute focal point of this offense. And it doesn't really seem like Trevon Diggs is shadowing despite the absence of Deron Bland. He wasn't on Chris Olave in week two that much. He shadowed a little bit on Amari Cooper in week one, played pretty well, but didn't really see a ton of Olave in week two against the Saints. And the numbers haven't come out yet for week three against the Ravens. But if Diggs isn't going to be shadowing Neighbors, I think we kind of have to target Neighbors props in this game. Receiving yards are at 70.5, which seems high, but against this Dallas defense that is kind of just giving up yardage. Zay Flowers played well against them. I also kind of want to target Devin Singletary props against this. This is the worst running defense in the NFL currently right now in terms of fantasy points allowed per game, over 32.2 points per game allowed to running backs, 137 yards per game allowed on the ground. I mean, this is kind of a running back sieve, and this is a Giants offensive line that has been really good at run blocking. They rank fourth in the NFL in pass in run block win rate through 3 weeks, which is kind of astonishing to me. So I'm kind of willing to throw a little bit of money at Devin Singletary here and take his over rushing yard, 61.5 right now at DraftKings, and really like that.
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit before the pod, how, you know, we get rid of Saquon Barkley, and now we kind of, you know, we clearly so far at least have a better run blocking unit there for the Giants. So that's pretty annoying. You see Sam sitting there with his Eagles helmet to his side. So he's benefiting from that move. But yeah, man, said a lot of good things there. Malik Neighbors, clearly the Giants are finding ways just to get the ball to him too, right? He's moving around a lot. He's going in motion a lot. The Giants know what they have there. And Daniel Jones is not afraid to force the ball to him as well. You notice that in these games. Daniel Jones finally has a target to be able to do that too, right? So I do want to mention too, Dallas kind of a tough spot here in the sense that obviously they're on a short week. It's on the road. And then they have Pittsburgh on the road next week too. So a double spot. I don't think that's a look ahead or anything, but it's only getting tougher for the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, they're about to face obviously a very good defense at Pittsburgh after this one. So a lot of get writing to do for the Dallas Cowboys. Let's move on to the next game on the slate, Pittsburgh Steelers at the Indianapolis Colts. This line opened Colts -1, but now that's flipped. The Colts getting some points on their end. They're +2.5 at home. Totals around 40. And these two teams are very interesting. I like both coaches. You know, obviously Mike Tomlin is kind of laughing at everybody right now, right? The first losing season of the Steelers is coming. We're 3-0, right? But at the same time, you look at who the Steelers have faced so far, pretty advantageous, right? Kirk Cousins in his first start didn't play in the preseason for Atlanta. Then they go to Denver. Bo Nix is fresh. Defense can take care of that. And then we saw what happened last week. Justin Herbert gets injured, and that's kind of all she wrote for the Chargers. Gotta like what you're seeing from Justin Fields, but I'm not ready to be like, man, this kid has found his spot, and I do think he's a great fit there, but I'm not going to necessarily jump on that train yet. On the other end, Shane Steichen, a coach that I really like as well, but then you have a very volatile quarterback again, right? Like, how do you trust Anthony Richardson right now with the kind of things he's doing? I like what he's saying, but he's showing that he's the youngest starting quarterback in the NFL right now, just making some really boneheaded mistakes out there. So hard to trust the Colts. Steelers keep on finding themselves in these situations, and I lean Pittsburgh, but, you know, the Colts off a home win, they are better at home, and you talked about those road-home splits last week, Jake, so maybe we see that again this week. All that said, this is going to be a pass for me for now. Sam, what do you got on this one, Steelers-Colts?
I do really like what I'm seeing from Justin Fields in this game so far, or in this season so far. It's kind of wild to imagine that these Steelers might have actually found their quarterback of the future. I actually think they have. I think we're seeing things from Justin Fields that we never saw from him in Chicago. Namely, the fact that he's not really making a lot of turnover-worthy plays. He's thrown zero interceptable passes this year. The interception that he threw on Sunday literally bounced off Cordarrelle Patterson's leg up into the air. You know, that doesn't count as an interception in my book. So we're seeing him take care of the football. We're seeing him throw downfield at, you know, an accurate rate that we didn't really see in Chicago. I think he threw probably the best pass of his career to George Pickens a week ago that was called back for a penalty. I really kind of like this spot. The Colts kind of remind me, you know, obviously two different quarterbacks, but two kind of similar offensive schemes in Indianapolis and the Chargers, who the Steelers kind of just really, you know, out-physicaled, even with Justin Herbert going down, you know, with an injury there and both of their tackles going down. But I can't get behind Anthony Richardson right now. There's nothing that he can do that would make me say that he is playing well as an NFL quarterback. He continues to miss some of the easier throws that we've seen quarterbacks make. And he's kind of relying entirely on these deep shot passes. And the Steelers just aren't giving those up right now. So you have to take, you know, what a team's strengths are and kind of see whether that defense is giving them up. And I just don't see that the Steelers are allowing those kind of plays downfield. And if they're not going to allow those plays and they're going to force Anthony Richardson to beat them in the short to intermediate and over the middle with his arm, I think that's going to go really badly for Indianapolis. I think the Steelers kind of win this game going away. It's not close. And I really like them here. So I'm going to take the -2.
Yeah. Wow. Strong support for the Steelers. I got to say, TJ Watt, right? He's healthy in my mind. He is the modern day Lawrence Taylor. I mean, he's as like close as we get. He's just consistently winning, causing havoc every single week. You got him going up against Anthony Richardson with the mistakes that he's already making back there. I don't see how they overcome that. Shane Steichen, pretty bright coach though, Sam. You know that firsthand from his previous days with the Eagles. So maybe he develops a better game plan. But this is a tough challenge for the Colts, even at home. Jake Cirkus, what do you got here, Colts Steelers?
This is just a weird one, especially at open. You know, total was 41. And I was like, that seems really high. So I'm like, there's some implied information here just on base what the open is that seems like we might see some more points here than expected. I mean, if you would have asked me Sunday night what this total would be, I would probably said 35, 36, just because of what Pittsburgh's defense has done and kind of how the Colts have tried to play football through 3 weeks, especially in that Bears game. I mean, they struggled on offense against a very good defense at home. Now you got arguably a better defense. I mean, I could argue Steelers and Bears are 1-2 in terms of defenses through 3 weeks. So again, it's a tough home matchup for this Colts team. That they made enough plays on both sides, forced Caleb into some tough turnovers. Wills, like, that's the key here, because again, you know, Sam said it, Fields has not had a turnover worthy play all year. The pressure to sack problems that he's had his first 3 years with the Bears seem to be solved. He's middle of the pack in the league in pressure to sack ratio, so he's getting the ball out. He's not holding the ball, you know, that was just such a problem for him with the Bears. He's not trying to do too much, so we'll see if Gus Bradley can do anything to confuse him. He probably won't, just because of what he's been doing for 15 years as a DC. I don't see any value here in either team. I mean, this will tell me a lot about Indy. If they can kind of find a way to win again here at home against a really solid defense with middling at best quarterback play with the guy that we expect to be much better with Anthony Richardson, but no lean here. You know, again, what, like, right when I saw that high total, I'm like, I probably won't be playing anything in this game. So yeah, I'm hoping the Colts can win because I still have their AFC South futures. I think this is the best offensive line in football, and, you know, maybe hopefully a defense that will improve as year goes on. But nothing for me here as of Tuesday.
Yeah, you're talking about Justin Fields and how he's handling the pressure. You know, the Pittsburgh Steelers have quietly been improving their offensive line now for the last two seasons, and that's also showing up, right? And probably a big reason why he's doing a little better back there. Certainly better than what the Bears have offered when he was serving over there for Chicago. All right, Matt, I'm going to bring you in here, my man. You are back with us. Looks like your connection is pure. We're talking Colts, Steelers. Steelers are 2.5-point favorites on the road right now, and totals at 40. Matt, you got anything on this game for a Steelers team that's just keeps on finding ways to win?
I'm going to probably be on the over here, over 40.5. I know that total's moved up a few points already. Steelers off 3 straight unders. I know the defense looks great and everybody's talking about they look as good as a steel curtain, but I like points in this game, and I think the Colts give us a run for our money this weekend. So,
yeah, I like that you're looking that way. Actually, the Colts left a lot of points on the field. It's 40. Right?
Yeah, and the total's only 40. So, I mean, this can definitely be something to take advantage of.
Yeah, they move the ball, right? And I think Pittsburgh can move the ball on the Colts. On the Colts defense, so I think that's a sneaky play there, Matt. I like it. Leaning, or you're going to take the over in the Pittsburgh and Colts game. Okay, let's move on to perhaps the game of the week, the Minnesota Vikings traveling to Lambeau to face the Green Bay Packers. And guys, how could you not like what's going on both ends here? Matt LaFleur and the Packers arguably got better without Jordan Love because they're figuring out new variations of ways to win and play that offense, their run game, even though the Titans knew it was coming. I mean, it is the Titans, but the Titans knew that it was coming, and Green Bay still succeeds. Malik Willis having the game of his life against his former team. So, you know, I love Matt LaFleur as a coach, and he's certainly getting his flowers now, deservedly so. Jordan Love, 70% chance of returning this week from what I'm seeing online from at least an account that I follow, a medical account. Someone actually knows what they're saying as far as that goes. But then on the other end, right, Brian Flores, what he's bringing to these games, I even when I hear NFL experts like who break down film and everything talk about it, it's hard to figure out exactly what Flores is doing in totality. But every single week he's doing it. He's confusing quarterbacks. He's confusing great quarterbacks like C.J. Stroud, right? And Sam Darnold is damn near playing perfect football right now. What a great story. I don't think – I mean, he finished that game, so I'm not worried about whatever small injury he incurred. 2.5 points are what – in favor of the Packers is what we're seeing heading into this big Week 4 matchup. Totals of 43.5. Guys, how could we bet against either team right now? Let me start with Matt. Matt, you're joining us, so let's go right back to you. Packers and Vikings, Week 4.
I think the Vikings just look so good right now after beating the Texans and the Niners, and you're seeing the Packers as a favorite. I'm probably going to be on the Packers this weekend. I think the Vikings, I mean, it's got to calm down for them at some point. I don't think they keep doing and look as dominant as they have been. Most likely going to be on the Packers here.
I think odds makers obviously perceiving that the Vikings would be a very public side, you know, just getting a little more press about what's going on over there and obviously beating up on the Houston Texans, right? And you're still seeing that line in favor of the Packers. Of course, Packers at home, Jordan Love's coming back, but maybe this is the spot. I do want to mention too, Vikings have only been, have not been in the lead for about 3 minutes of game time so far this season, right? So we don't know what the Vikings are going to be like or how they're going to play if they are not in the lead. And going to Lambeau Field, that might be a case where we see Green Bay go ahead immediately, and now the Vikings have to answer. So just something interesting to think about there. Let's go to Sam. Green Bay Packers hosting the Vikings.
I don't know really what side to take here. My initial thought is any team that uses the run as their primary, you know, weapon of attack, I kind of want to fade against Minnesota since they've been so good at stopping the run. They're ranked fifth in run stop win rate this season. You know, I know obviously, you know, there was no Joe Mixon yesterday or over the weekend for the Texans, but not like Cam Akers had any success either. And obviously the Texans kind of just got so far behind that they didn't really have a choice but to keep throwing. And, you know, Forrest just took everything away there. But this is the Packers team that really depends on the run to really get everything going for them. It opens everything up against them. It's how they've won all three games or all, both games that they played and almost beat the Eagles in week one as well on the run. I'm not quite sure that if Jordan Love is back, he's probably still not 100%. You know, an MCL sprain is still an MCL sprain. It's tough on movement. And Love's not a statue in the pocket. He likes to move around. He likes to scramble if he needs to. So I'm a little bit interested to see how Flores decides to move around this offensive line and this offense for the Green Bay Packers. And I kind of want to see where things go with this line over the course of a week, as well as what props come out for it. I'm not really sold on one way or another. I would probably lean towards the Vikings because I think this is just a system that Sam Darnold is really playing well in. Everything's kind of going right. Kevin O'Connell's a really good offensive play caller, you know, coming from the Shanahan system scheme of things. And I think everything's kind of just going right for them. So I kind of want to see what happens there. I also kind of want to see, you know, if Jordan Addison comes back at all and, you know, if Justin Jefferson continues to be all right there. But I think everything kind of works out well for the Vikings here, especially in the running game with Aaron Jones and the, you know, the week that he just had against a Green Bay defense that can definitely be run on. So,
yeah, love it. You said a lot of great things there. What an interesting coaching matchup, right? Kevin O'Connell very quickly becoming, you know, his stock is rising.
I think arguably the two coach of the year favorites right now.
I think they're up there for sure. I mean, you got to give it, you know, almost automatically to Kevin O'Connell for what he's doing. But I mean, LaFleur producing those wins in the last 2 weeks, like they're in a great spot right now
with Malik Willis. Yeah,
right. With Malik Willis. So he can win almost no matter what, it seems. Just what a great coaching matchup in this one. It's going to be an easy stay away for me probably, but I will say the over 43.5, I don't know if that's quite high enough for me. I know that we got a great defense on Minnesota's side, but the advantage of Green Bay being at home and Jordan Love coming back, I could see that adding a spark. This is more of a 27-21 type of contest for me, yeah. But I think that could go either way. Jake Cirkus, finish us up here on Packers Vikings.
Yeah, I've got a pretty heavy lean to Green Bay here. We'll see what the market does with this one. You know, there's some familiarity with Love and Flores. He was great against the Vikings last year, 10 touchdowns, or sorry, 3 touchdowns, no picks, against the blitz in Love's career. Like, that was the matchup that we were all looking for with Stroud. Stroud middling last year versus the blitz, so we're like, okay, is he going to struggle versus Flores? Love is the opposite. Love is a killer against the blitz, especially, you know, last year in his first year playing. So there's some familiarity with that aspect. Vikings now going on the road. They had those two big spots at home where they, you know, beat the Niners in a, you know, interesting, funky game. And then they just beat up on the Texans on what was certainly the surprise of the week. But I think that we can see some regression in all facets, especially if Love comes back. But I'm waiting here. Like, I'll try to time it right where if Love practices today, hopefully the line stays under 3 and I'll get it there. If not, I'll kind of wait around. It's not a must bet now for any reason, just because of Love's injury is a big deal. I don't think that this is a, you know, bet on Green Bay if it's Malik Willis, like it arguably was the last 2 weeks. This is a Vikings team that was very undervalued preseason, have some of their futures, but I don't necessarily think I'm going to, you know, hit any of them. But glad to see that Flores and KOC are doing good. I think this is the best, two best coach teams in the league by far. So this is a great matchup. But yeah, pretty heavy lean for Packers. We'll see if I get there.
I love it, and I love the competing sides on this show. That's why you watch the NFL Roundtable. That's why you listen. We are live here on a Tuesday. We got 99. Let's bump that up to 100. Let's bump it up to 700 like it was 2 weeks ago. Of live viewers. And as always, folks, you can catch this via podcast and on YouTube as well. All right, next game is the Jacksonville Jaguars visiting the Houston Texans. This is anywhere from -5.5 to -6.5 in favor of the home team Texans. So make sure you shop around depending on which sides you like. Totals at 45. Guys, I'll just say this. The Jaguars, to me, were one of my favorite plays last week. They were one of the Sharp's favorite plays, I believe, from what I read and heard. That was a spot. Like, that was a spot for Jacksonville to at least show up and play a little better. And boy, did it go the exact opposite. And of course, that's a lot of credit to the Buffalo Bills, but this is not a Jacksonville team that I can trust. I don't have an official play on this one just yet, but strongly lean to Houston here, especially coming off of a loss. CJ Stroud back home. And now, I mean, Doug Peterson, his job is on the line. Trevor Lawrence got benched at the, towards the end of that last game last night. So, of course, that's fresh in our minds, too, so it creates some bias. But I'm staying far away from the Jacksonville Jaguars right now. I know that for sure. Let me go right back to Jake Cirkus here, Houston and Jacksonville.
Come on, Chris. You know where I'm going with this. Like, you know what I'm going to bet on this game.
You're getting gross. You're going to get gross.
I mean, yeah, it's already gone down. Like, I don't think it's going back up. I grabbed a 6.5 and didn't think twice about it with Jacksonville. Like, you said it best. It's fresh in our minds. It's a blowout on prime time. I don't know what the deal is with Trevor and Doug. Like, last year they weren't great, but Trevor got hurt at the end of the year and he wasn't really playing great. The turnover problems with Lawrence are legit, but this is more so a fate of Houston, who I still think is overvalued. I've been saying it every single week, that this is, you know, not the Super Bowl darlings that they were preseason, because the target's on their backs. They're getting teams' best shot. CJ Stroud's not surprising anybody anymore. Defensive coordinators are getting more film, and, you know, Brian Flores just showed everybody what to do. Like, blitz him. Like, that's get him under pressure. It's an inexperienced offensive line that's dealing with a lot of new faces. A couple of people like moving positions. Like, Brian Flores showed everybody what to do with CJ Stroud. And even, you know, Matt Eberflus kind of did too, because that was not a great CJ Stroud game on Sunday Night Football a couple weeks ago with Chicago. I don't know if this Jags defense is capable of shutting down CJ Stroud, but I'll take six and a half points here in a divisional game, a division that the last 3 years have seen just crazy close games. I mean, even when the Jags were like the Super Bowl darling, they were getting teams' best shots in their division. So I expect Jacksonville to get up for this game at 0-3, just a desperation 0-3 performance. They were the only 0-2 team that did not cover, I believe. Maybe there was one, but 0-2 teams went like 8-1 ATS. I think they went like 7-1 straight up, 7-8-1 straight up too. So they were the only 0-2 team that didn't come to play. Well, Bengals too, I guess. Some desperation here with the quarterback that I'm just hanging on to that trust, man. But Lawrence is about to blow it. It's not been good this year. Has not won a game since Thanksgiving of last year.
Yeah, just to Jake's point and just how absurd things have been. Dogs of 6+ are 8-5 straight up, 12-1 ATS. Dogs of 7+ are 4-0 straight up and ATS. That is how this season has gone. Of course, Jacksonville fell right below that, right? 5.5. So it doesn't really count. I hate those fives and five and a halfs, but
it's a dead number.
Yeah, it's a very dead number. But one thing just about the defensive coordinator of Ryan Nielsen, just, you know, even in the first half of that game against the Bills, you saw when they were playing, you know, more aggressive defensively, those were the plays where Josh Allen even, you know, had just a little more trouble, but they did not stick with that at all. So it's just not a system that I trust right now. I mean, hopefully they change some things up, but my goodness, they weren't making like almost any adjustments in that game against the Bills. I don't know what's going on there in Jacksonville. Matt Rutledge, let's go over to you. Jaguars traveling to Houston and hoping to finally get a win.
I got nothing. Nothing at all. I guess I lean Houston, but I will be so far away from this game.
Yeah. I don't blame you, especially with the way Jacksonville's playing. Sam, Jacksonville Jaguars at the Houston Texans.
I'd like to target every single pass catcher prop that I can on Houston squad against this, because this is just a massive pass funnel. We saw the Buffalo Bills out of nowhere switch from being the most run-heavy team in the NFL to throwing 29 passing attempts in the first half. You know, just for context, I took Josh Allen's under 30.5 passing attempts last night, because I thought, given what we've seen, given the fact that I didn't think Jacksonville could contend in this game, I thought it'd be, you know, relatively nice and straightforward. Allen would throw it 23, 24 times, be very efficient, move the ball down the field and be perfectly okay. But, Joe Brady decided to go to an extremely pass heavy attack, passing on, you know, like 80% of the first half plays. The fact that Josh Allen finished with 30 passing attempts after, you know, Jacksonville kind of controlled the ball that entire third quarter, and then he gets pulled for Mitch Trubisky, it had me just laughing as I watched that bet cash for me. But all things aside, I think this is just a spot where you have to attack a massive pass funnel that the Jaguars defense is in this point. You know, they do have a pretty capable rushing defense here, and teams are not really running the ball that much, just because they don't have to. Their cornerbacks are a very, very, very big fault line right now. Teams are just taking advantage of them. And we saw it from this. We saw it from this Bills team that hasn't had a ton of success through the air this season. They got absolutely steamrolled. So Nico Collins, Stephon Diggs, Tank Dell, even maybe Dalton Schultz, fire them all up. I'll be looking at overs and alts for all of them.
I love it. I'm going to win a DK tournament this week because of you, Sam. But no, that's it, and it's a perfect regression spot for CJ Stroud too, right? And he's going to be very frustrated coming off of that week three game against the Vikings. All right, yeah. Let's move on. Saints and Falcons. This is at Atlanta. Saints coming off their first loss of the season. Atlanta lost as well, but boy, is it! It felt like they should have won that game. Atlanta -1 at BetOnline, -1.5 to -2 at most other books. Totals of 42 here. You know, I'll just say that I like what Atlanta has done even more, even though they're 1-2. You know, facing Pittsburgh right away was really tough. Then they go to Philly and they find a way to win that game, and they probably should have won last week against Kansas City. You know, this is an operation that's getting better. I like Kirk Cousins. He's throwing a very crisp ball. Good old wholesome Kirk is out there doing his thing and seems comfortable in Atlanta as well. And this is the point where I think maybe we could start, you know, fading the Saints, right? I mean, the Saints came out, right? Of course, they beat up Carolina right away. They beat up Dallas. Is that even that impressive of a win right now from what we see from the Dallas Cowboys? And now they have to hit the road against Atlanta. The Saints also have a look ahead at KC in week five. Now, you know, is it a divisional look ahead? No, but they are the champs. Everybody thinks about Arrowhead and the Chiefs. Maybe that's in their brain a little bit. I'm going to lean to the Falcons here. No play so far in this one for me. Probably won't catch a lot of official plays from me on this show just yet. But the Falcons are the direction I would go. And I'm getting closer to placing a bet as long as it stays under 3. Let me go back to Sam to start this one off. Saints and Falcons.
This is a spot where I think the Saints could actually see a nice little bounce back here. Just thinking of what we saw, you know, the Falcons kind of show a little bit of weakness. They can be run on at times. There are some passing, you know, gaps, especially deep balls for them. And I think it's a perfect spot for Rashid Shaheed to have, you know, kind of a bounce back game there, as well as Alvin Kamara, who's looked really, really solid through 3 weeks of play. I still think, you know, his body is holding up to this, you know, heavier workload than we're used to seeing there. But I think this is a good spot for Derek Carr to get right as well. You know, Atlanta is not really good at getting pressure. Saw that a little bit in the Eagles game as well. You know, even with that offensive line that had some, you know, issues in pass blocking early in that game, Atlanta was not able to get a lot of pressure. And, you know, I haven't really seen them get much pressure at all outside of Matthew Judon at times. But if it's not Judon, I don't think they can get really any pressure at all in the quarterback. And I think that's going to open up a lot of time for Derek Carr and this defense to kind of get or this offense to get downfield and take a few deep shots. And that's where the Saints have been their best at. Obviously, that Eagles game, the key to beating the Saints was taking away the deep ball, taking away some of those play action and the rhythm that they had there early on. And the Eagles did that really well. I expect the Falcons to kind of have some issues, you know, matching that. And I'm not sure that their offense can keep up with the Saints quite yet if the Saints are able to get rolling there. So I would like that. I'm kind of interested in the total in this game. A little bit, 42. This seems like a game that could easily be an over game. I don't look at the NFC South as, you know, one of those divisional matchups that, you know, the other teams punch each other in the mouth. They can be higher scoring. You know, these are two teams with not the best defenses in the world. So give me the over here is my official play, over 42.
Now, the Falcons defense is very interesting because, I mean, they have tackling issues. You know, you see the holes in their defense. At the same time, opponent points per play, opponent yards per play, they're top 10. So they're keeping their offenses at bay for the most part.
The red zone defense has been good, I think. That's kind of where it's been.
Yeah. Red zone, they're 11th overall, 36% allowing a touchdown rate there. So, you know, they're a bend, don't break kind of defense. So they're interesting from that perspective. And I think the Saints qualify as a fantastic teaser team this year, if it's all right, right? There's some twos out there on the Falcons side. So you can get the Saints up to +8. The Saints with their defense, they can stay in games, right? Like we saw that last week against the Eagles, even though they weren't scoring, they stayed in the game because their defense really stepped up in those situations too. So, you know, there's more talent on that side. It's going to be a little bit more consistent from the Saints, I think. So I think they probably make a great teaser leg this week. I wouldn't touch it from the side, but Sam is rolling with the Saints at least. Is that an official play or that's where you're leaning for now?
No, that's definitely a lean. I think I'm going to take the over as my official play here.
I like it. Okay, Matt Rutledge, Saints and Falcons. What do you got on this one?
I think your football brain looks at this game and says, you know, the Saints should 100% win this game, but I'm not going to take anything for sure in this game, but I would lean Falcons personally. I just think this line is a little short, and yeah, it could be a good game for the Saints to bounce back, but the Falcons need it more. They need to win more right now, I think. This is like a must-win for them in a division game, so I lean Falcons.
Yeah, not as big of a disparity as what I'm going to talk about in the next game, but as far as quarterback and coach, give me Kirk Cousins over Derek Carr. Give me Raheem Morris over Dennis Allen. I don't know. You know, Dennis Allen just seems good for like 1 week, but I don't know if the players can really relate to him. Jake Cirkus, end us here. What is your take on Saints-Falcons?
I've been itching to talk about this game, Chris, and I'll tell you why, because maybe I can get you just across the rope and lean you to taking the Falcons here. This is very close to being best bet of the week. Waited on some injury news for the Falcons O-line. Caleb McGarry, the right tackle, day to day. So if, and the reason why I'm waiting here, because the drop off, this is a great starting five offensive line. The drop off to the backups is awful. So if McGarry goes, this will be a best bet for me. I played it already at -1.5. Like, this was the box score lie of the week. Like, we talked about Bucks Lions last week. Saints Eagles wasn't close in the box score. The Eagles could have, should have scored 40 on them pretty easily. They had 300 yards before they scored a single point. Just Hurts, just fluky turnovers. They got stopped on fourth down. They did whatever they wanted against Dennis Allen's defense. And I expect Raheem Morris and Atlanta to kind of have a similar attack. There's been some discourse with Zach Robinson's play calls, so maybe he's a little bit under fire. He's got a lot of weapons on that team, and, you know, everybody's healthy in the weapons department. Kirk's still figuring it out, getting better. I liked what I saw from him against the Chiefs. Certainly liked what I saw from him in week two against that Eagles defense that Derek Carr did nothing against. So you have data, you have a common opponent, you have a data point here, and I think Atlanta did much better against the Eagles than the Saints did. Both teams struggle to get a pass rush in this game. I like Atlanta's offensive line better to hold up, especially if McGarry's in there. This is a great spot for Atlanta. I'll be all over them.
All right, I like it. We got conflicting opinions here again, which, again, the diversity of this show, that's why you watch it. And I'm glad that Jake brought up best bets. At the end of this show, we will go across the room here and have everyone's best bet. Last week did pretty good, by the way. Jake, I think you and I had the Broncos. I know Patrick had the Bengals, RIP to that one in all regards. But for the most part, we did a good job. Okay, let's go to the next game. Rams at Chicago Bears. The Bears are 3-point chalk in this one. Totals at 41. Guys, here's my problem with this game. From a sports betting perspective, right? I try to quantify. I'm not a modeler statistically, but I try to quantify coach and quarterback over everything else, right? Especially if there's a symbiotic relationship there. You're telling me that, I realize that the Rams are still very injured, right? Offensive line, both receivers, blah, blah. You're telling me, and possibly a big letdown spot, but I'm getting Sean McVay against Matt Eberflus, and I'm getting Matthew Stafford against Caleb Williams. Now, obviously, defensively, the Rams defense has not been good, right? So the Chicago Bears defensively, maybe that's what odds makers are looking at here. Sharps are looking at here. Chicago goes back home, and it's a high variance defensive win for the Chicago Bears. I could certainly see that. But the way that I bet these games, coaching quarterback first and the most prominent thing, and that symbiotic relationship, McVay and Stafford are planets, like universes, above Matt Eberflus and Caleb Williams. So this one's really hard for me because it's this number. I don't want to take it because I feel like someone knows something I don't. And we saw the Rams shit the bed before, right? That's what happened in week two. So I'm probably going to stay away from this one, but it is difficult for me to stay away from it. Somebody talk me down from taking the Rams in this instance. Jake, I'm going to go right back to you. Rams, Bears, week four.
Yeah, I wish I took Chicago at -1 and 1.5 when it opened. Got hit pretty hard pretty quickly before, you know, last night it got up to 3. That's a pass for me there. Like, again, I'm with you. It's hard not to just take McVay blindly at +3 against a Bears team that I don't really have a lot of faith in. I think the Bears are the side here at home. I still have not watched the game back, so maybe crappy on my part to not, you know, have that information here on how the hell the Rams came back and won that game. Because looking at the box score, it didn't really seem like the Rams, you know, would have won that game. But yeah, the defense is pretty healthy right now, besides maybe one or two guys. But again, it's the offense. It's Kupp and Nacua. Like, how did the Niners allow all these points and, you know, 300 yards? Rams got outgained by 150, but that doesn't really tell the whole story. So I will have to go back and rewatch Rams Niners before I have a crazy play in this game, especially now that the number that I wanted is gone. But like, I'm with you. Like, how do you not trust McVay? I mean, I blindly took McVay at +1.5 2 weeks ago against the Cardinals. That didn't really work out. But again, like at +3 on the road against a team I don't trust, I think a team that's poorly coached. I could see myself being with the public here at +3. Like, well, who knows?
week to week, right? That's this NFL league. And, you know, week one and three, the Rams, they made it happen. They at least kept it competitive in week one. You know, week two, I don't know what happened. So now it feels like, what are we going to get that version of the Rams? And they're just going to shit the bed. That's at least what odds makers think. Sam, Bears and Rams.
I can't justify this being like my best bet of the week, but I really like the Bears in the spot. And it just comes down to the simplest matchup, trench versus trench. And this is a matchup of one of the best trenches in the league right now versus the worst trenches in the league right now. And that's the Bears defense versus the Rams offensive line. That's missing three starters, four that, you know, haven't played together that much. You know, no wide receivers starting that are healthy from the first day of the season. Like it is a nightmare in every sense of the word for this team. The Bears probably should have won against Indianapolis last week. I think, you know, people are going to, you know, kind of down them a little bit. And I'm just not quite sure that this Rams team isn't going to be overrated. I was kind of hoping that the betting market would really kind of rail on them after they beat the 49ers and everyone would be like, oh my God, this Rams team is absolutely back. You know, coaching matters, everything. But, you know, I can't see this just not being a matchup, a very low scoring matchup that's disgusting and ugly. But it really fits everything that Chicago wants to do. They want to run the football. The Rams are very weak against the run. They want to get pressure on the quarterback. The Rams are giving up tons of pressure, and Chicago's defense has been very, very good, you know, at holding their own, you know, in the trenches there. So, you know, in a game where the Rams' chance of victory basically depends on Kyren Williams being basically a superstar, I want to go against the Rams in this spot. The Bears have been very good at, you know, not allowing running backs to really get too much over them. They're allowing, you know, under 100 yards rushing per game, 12th in red zone defense against running backs, which is nice to see as well. And I don't know, like, I'm not saying that, you know, DeAndre Swift and, you know, the running backs are going to rush for a ton of yards. You know, we obviously saw a plus matchup against Indianapolis where they really didn't do anything. But I think Caleb Williams can kind of just pick apart this Rams defense really well. We obviously saw him, you know, when he had to throw, he threw the ball well in this game. So a game that Keenan Allen might be back in, you know, another week of being able to get healthy for him is important. Like, everything points to the Bears here, and public sentiment is definitely going to be on the Rams. I want to fade the public as many times as I possibly can. Public sentiment is lower on the Bears, and, you know, it's as low as it could possibly get. So give me the Bears in a spot where I do think that someone knows something that they shouldn't, that set this line. I want to be there. I found it at 2.5 on Hard Rock, so I'm taking that.
Yeah, I love that. And I love what you said about the public side there. I totally agree with you. You want to fade them when you can. Well, let me ask you this. Since we have a fantasy expert, I'm calling you an expert, Sam, on our show. Bears defense, Sunday, 3,100 on DraftKings. That seems like a cheap price. That's like the 10th. Yeah.
It is a nice cheap price there. You know, I can't really go against it. You know, people that are streaming defenses against the 40 or against the Rams have generally, you know, come up in good spots here. Denver a couple weeks ago, obviously the 49ers had a good one. And then, you know, even though the 49ers had you know, a poor last week, they still, you know, put up 11 points fantasy points wise against the Rams last week. So I'm not really worried about it. I like the Bears kind of in the spot a lot here.
Yeah, and everyone's talking about Caleb Williams, right? But the Bears last week, they allowed, you know, over 100 yards to Jonathan Taylor, right? I mean, the Bears actually outgained the Colts by 89 yards in that one. But the Bears just allowed too many things to happen, even with Anthony Richardson making all those mistakes, right? So you got to figure a regression game for the Bears defense as well. All right, Matt Rutledge, end us here on this one, Rams and Bears.
I think Sam hit it on the nail with the huge discrepancy between the O-lines here. That Bears defense doesn't really look too bad. I lean under here, especially for how the 49ers-Rams game was. Last week, you watched the second half of that Rams defense, and they look like a whole different defense of how they stop the 49ers. I just think we see a low scoring game here. I don't like either side, but I just don't see points.
Yeah, the total on this one really has me, because on the one hand, I want to take, you know, Chicago with their defense. But on the other hand, right, we can actually see some success from Chicago in this game offensively, or more than what we've seen. And then you have Matthew Stafford chasing points. So I kind of like that. But when you think about the Windy City in Chicago, you definitely think defense, and this would be the game to take them. It seems good conversation about that one, boys. All right, let's move on to Tampa Bay hosting the Eagles. Sam, we're going to go to you first on this one, because this is your Philadelphia Eagles. Of course, Eagles famously lost to them in the wild card round last year. That made me pretty happy, Sam, I must say. Sorry. Hey, I have to celebrate my rivals' failures, you know, because I can't celebrate my wins these days, okay? Tampa Bay is -2.5 at home. Is that right? Is that what I'm seeing? Is that true?
No.
Eagles are favorite. I'm pretty sure I typed that wrong. Totals of 45. My first question for you, Sam, is Vita Vea playing in this game? Because I think that's going to make a huge difference.
I have absolutely no idea, and it will absolutely make a huge difference. Look, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers can't stop the run. They can't stop running backs from catching passes. They can't stop running backs from running on them. They cannot stop anything in the run game. I'm not exactly sure what happened in the Broncos game over the weekend. To put the Buccaneers in the back burner. I think I don't think that was Bo Nix out there. It had to be some sort of doppelganger playing in place of him. But I think a large portion of the betting lines on this game will rest on whether Vita Vea plays in this game, because he's a massive force in the middle of that. And if he's not there, I think Saquon Barkley just runs forever. He might not come back. So it feels like an incomplete handicap if we don't have that piece of, you know, information there. So I'm going to hold off on playing this for now. My initial lean here is actually that the Buccaneers are going to stay in this game more than people probably think they are. It being 2.5 is obviously a stay away game. Anyways, the Eagles have not fared well against the Buccaneers, especially in Tampa, the last decade. The Deshaun Jackson revenge game I see it in my nightmares at least once a year. Obviously the game in January, I walked out of the sports book in Las Vegas and threw a drink at the wall after that loss. I don't know. I'm tempted to lean like that the Buccaneers have a good shot at, you know, taking this team down. If Vita Vea is there, because Baker Mayfield can slice and dice a defense, a secondary. The Eagles secondary has shown some cracks in it. They're very bend don't break as well, but they definitely shown some cracks. And the rushing defense has gotten better. I don't think you're going to see a lot of running from the Buccaneers in this game. They're still in flux with Bucky Irving and Rashad White there. I think we're going to see a lot of more Bucky Irving work there, but still, I do think that this is a spot where the Buccaneers could be very surprising to people and take a game away from the Eagles if things go their way.
Yeah, I think they would make a really great teaser light too, right? You can go
absolutely.
Three different key numbers there, right? And they're staying at home, right, off of that embarrassing loss. So you can get that up to 8.5 in favor of the Bucs. I will add that as a teaser light. Maybe that'll be a part of my best bet on this show. I do think the Eagles probably win this game because they find a way with that rushing offense and Saquon. But it's very interesting, right? Because sometimes we don't have all the answers, right? We're not on the sidelines. We don't know why these teams match up so well. But I had a feeling about Washington against Cincinnati last night that, you know, we saw that come to fruition. Certain teams just match up well against other teams, and Tampa Bay certainly seems like they do against this Eagles squad. And let's see if A.J. Brown plays, because that's obviously making a difference. And Jalen Hurts and his confidence out there as well. You can't just throw up the ball to A.J. Brown. That's a major loss there if he doesn't suit up again in this one. Okay, let's go to you, Matt Rutledge, Tampa Bay hosting the Eagles and hoping to get a win off of that embarrassing loss last week.
I lean Bucks for sure. Again, I want to wait to see what happens with this line, but I do lean the Bucks. +120 at home. I know, Chris, you're in the same boat as me. Living around Philly fans all the time. I'm already getting tired of hearing about Eagles revenge game this weekend. I just think it's the Bucks. I think they turn it around from how bad they played last week. I like that home atmosphere here. I just lean Bucks, really. I think the Eagles on the road, I mean, you're asking for two road wins in a row from the Eagles, and you saw the second half of the season, how they played on the road last year. I have a heavy lean on Bucks.
Yeah, I mean, I will say Tampa Bay has a tough look ahead. They have a Thursday night game at Atlanta 4 days after this game. But that usually doesn't mean much, actually, like the Thursday night game ahead. I haven't found that makes a big difference. And, yeah, Matt, I not only have I been around Eagles fans, you know, recently when I go to Cape May and I see you there, but I, for those of you who don't know, I grew up in Eastern Pennsylvania somehow. I'm from Northern Jersey, Giants family. I've been around these Eagles fans like most of my life. It's been torture, especially watching Donovan McNabb slice and dice the Giants for all of my childhood. Sam, sometimes I wouldn't go to school on Mondays. I would just be like, I'm not facing this this level of humiliation Monday after another loss. Anyway, okay, Jake Cirkus, Bucks, Eagles, finish us off here.
I hate both these teams, like, quite frankly. I mean, I feel like I was early on the Bucks. Like, I said that they suck, and I think they might. But, like, I was impressed with the Eagles' grit going on the road and, you know, battling through some really bad turnovers and, you know, completely outplaying the opposition. Like, normally we see a team like the Eagles slip up and lose that game and just, you know, they're 1-2, like, what's next? But, no, they won it. Just grit from everybody, with Lane going out, with Devontae going out. You're already down AJ Brown. Like, very impressed with the Eagles there. Looks like their division. Like, doesn't matter what happens in this game. Like, that looks like the Eagles division to lose. Everything that I've done with handicapping in the last 5 years, I would take the Bucks here, but I just think they're still lower. Like, I'm just way lower on them than market. You know, that's why I made Bo Nix my best bet last week. That was just a disrespectful line to a team that, you know, beat Washington, sure, week one. I guess it looks like a pretty solid win, but box score was completely lying in the Detroit game. I don't have faith in this defense, since they have a non-existent pass rush now without Shaq Barrett, who's gone, free agent. Bengals should pick him up. Oh, look, my team sucks. But yeah, I lean Eagles at under 3, but I won't be taking it, just because I'm not high on either team this year, especially lower on the Bucks. And that would be my bet. I would normally take Bucks +2.5, +3. But yeah, just a lean Eagles here for me.
All right, let's move on. We're almost an hour in, guys. So we got quite a few games. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4. I think we have 9 more games to go through. So we'll put the pedal to the metal here a little bit if we don't have much to say. And I don't have much to say about this one. It's the Bengals going to Carolina. Maybe the market's a little stronger on Carolina right now. We saw that number dip a little bit after last night's loss for the Bengals. It was 5.5. Now it's 4.5. You know, of course, they have to be the favorite against Carolina. But my goodness, like, is anyone sticking their neck out for the Cincinnati Bengals right now? So let me just pass this on to you guys. Let's go to you first, Matt Rutledge, Panthers and Bengals.
I got nothing. Just move on.
Easy enough. Jake Cirkus, Cincinnati on the road at Carolina.
Well, this is my team versus my second team, right? Like, I'm a born again Panthers fan, I guess. I think it's a little too much of a dip here for Carolina. Like, this look ahead was 7. Now it's 4.5. Bengals just put up almost 450 yards. I won't play anything here. Like, I normally don't bet on or against the Bengals just because of bias reasons. But yeah, that defense is very worrisome. So the Andy revenge angle is awesome. That's going to be so fun. But yeah, I'm just hoping the Bengals can win this game, quite frankly.
Andy Dalton might be the hero again. And Lou Anarumo, what are you doing? I mean, maybe it's not Lou's fault, but boy, the Bengals were getting. I mean, I think that's more about Jaden Daniels, to be honest, who we will get to in a second. But Bengals defense was, I mean, completely just mowed over last night. That was hard to watch. I mean, Bengals at home, survivor entries all over the world. I mean, it's like, what is happening here? Sam, end us on this one. Bengals, Panthers.
It would be hilarious if Circus Survivor ended because, you know, 60% of the remaining people in there took the Bengals again this week. I don't think the Bengals are going to lose this game, though. I'm going to take them to cover the spread here as my play.
It's a good position too, right? I mean, Panthers coming off their first win. They're riding high right now. Dave Canales, like, you know, there's a certain like motivational edge that probably starts to go away a little bit, right? Because you got your first win. You know you're not going to the Super Bowl. Joe Burrow, almost said Joe Bangle. Joe Burrow, on the other hand, they are, I mean, you couldn't be more desperate right now, right? They just need to get better and get better quick. So definitely lean towards Cincinnati. I won't say more about that. Broncos at the New York Jets. Jets with a major look ahead because they're going to London next week. But the Jets are 7-point chalk at home, obviously coming off that impressive win over the Patriots. But the Patriots also kind of didn't even show up to that game, so hard to know what to take from it. This one opened at 8 and was bet down quickly to 7. And I just got to say, I know there's a lot of Bo Nix. People aren't supporting him right away. But the kid showed some real moxie in that game. He was running the ball a lot, making good decisions. And Sean Payton, in this particular game especially, huge coaching edge for me. I mean, I don't like what's going on with Salas, with anything on the Jets side. I think they catch good situations, and then the team takes over. Like, Aaron Rodgers is more the coach already, in my opinion. So huge coaching edge here for Sean Payton. Broncos at 7 here. Let's go back to you, Jake. Broncos and Jets.
Yeah, I'm with the Bronco train. I think that they were a little bit unlucky the first 2 weeks, and now we're starting to see a rookie quarterback with a really good head coach starting to figure it out, make some throws, make some good decisions, more importantly. I'd play Broncos here at +7. I think the offensive line's good. I think the defense is really underrated. This is, again, like another Broncos defense. Like, I feel like they've had 3 defenses in the last 5 years that have just been constantly underrated per market. I think we got another one here. I make the Broncos a 4-point favorite against the Patriots on a neutral. So, like, I think this is an up in competition. This is not just a pushover game like that short week Thursday night game was. I think the Broncos are live here. Again, coaching mismatch, like you said, Chris. 7's a good number here. Jets, great performance against the Patriots, but again, like, does that really mean much? The Patriots' best player got hurt on the second drive, so like, they couldn't even run the ball. That's what we thought the Patriots were going to do. They couldn't do it because Stevenson got hurt. But I think this is an up in competition. This is not a pushover game. I'll play the Denver at 7 again.
Yeah, and so it begins too with Aaron Rodgers being just a little prickly there on the sideline. I don't know what the hug was all about. Of course, they're saying it's no big deal, but that looked more like, you know, that looked like the most awkward thing. Like, it's one of the most awkward things I've ever seen on the sideline. So I'm not going to completely ignore it. Sam, Broncos going to the Jets.
I have one question. How are the Broncos expected to score any points? Like, who are they going to do it with? Who?
Well, so far, the Jets have only kind of showed up in one game, and it was against the Patriots. But True. You're right.
True, it's
a good spot for them.
I mean, just from a defensive perspective, the Jets, you know, completely can shut down them. They can shut them down on the ground. There's nothing really, you know, the Broncos can do to run the ball well. They haven't all season. And I haven't really seen much out of the receivers outside of, you know, Courtland Sutton doing a little bit last week. And now he gets Sauce Gardner. So a little worried from that standpoint. I don't want to take either of these teams, you know, laying or giving 7 points. I'd probably just take the under here, if anything. I don't think there's going to be many points in this game.
Yeah, I'll tell you, the one thing I do like for Denver is that the Jets are probably pretty confident right now, right? And that's not a situation that I like with Aaron Rodgers at all. I mean, if the Broncos can play well defensively like we saw last week, which I wasn't thinking much about the Denver defense, but they played very well in week 3. If they can bring that in week 4, then maybe we just get a low scoring game and that automatically favors the underdog, right? But I could certainly see what you're saying, Sam. All right, end us here. Matt Rutledge, Jets, Broncos.
Don't have official play. I lean under 2. You know how I feel about this Broncos team. I'm staying away.
Thinking it's maybe a 1 week deal, huh? Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Washington Commanders visiting the Arizona Cardinals. I know it's really square, but I don't know how you could take an under in this game. This should be a highly entertaining game. I know Kyler Murray and the Arizona offense really sputtered last week, but Kyler Murray is still, like, you can see the difference in him in the way that he's playing out there. Jaden Daniels, I love it. I don't know if anyone's seen it or cares or heard it, but 2 months ago, this kid is going to be a special player in the NFL, I think, as long as he can stay healthy. Was absolutely slicing and dicing the Cincinnati defense last night. It was fun to see. So my only thought here is I want to take an over on this one. Arizona is 3.5-point favorites at home. Let's go back to you, Matt Rutledge. Are you going to ride the Jaden Daniels train into this game as well? Or are you going to settle in on Kyler Murray, who does look, I mean, he looks so much better this season.
This is actually my best bet this week, Chris, and I'm so glad you said it because I'm also taking the over. I think the first 3 weeks of the season, we've seen unders. Like, offenses have been so down in scoring this year so far. If you look at the first 3 weeks, the highest over each week was the Lions game. Lions, Rams, Lions, Bucks, Lions, Cardinals. All three games went under. Now going to week four, beginning of the week, I think on Sunday or Monday, the highest total was Lions, Seahawks at 49. Now it's down to 47. And probably after last night, after we saw what the Commanders did, this total's moved up from 45.5 to 50.5 now. So I love the over here. I think two teams that you're looking at, you just look at this game, you're like, you really think both teams are going to score 25 points? I think they absolutely will, and I love the line movement here. So I'm probably going to have two units on Cardinals Commanders over 50.5 here.
Yeah, love it. Probably one of the more consistent things in the NFL is that Washington's defense isn't bringing much to the table, right? So Kyler Murray, after a bad week, probably going to have a better situation this week. Okay, Sam, Washington and Arizona.
I'm going to be really interested to see props in this game, as I am in any game that, you know, projects to be, you know, pretty heavy offensively. I did like watching Joe Burrow, like, just throw almost at will, you know, over the middle and out to the edges against this defense, which obviously, you know, they can't stop anybody. We saw that right away with Jamar Chase's touchdown. A lot of targets to the running backs as well, 9 in this game. Could be a spot for James Conner to have, you know, some nice receiving props in this one as well for me. I think I'm probably going to end up settling on some rushing props for the Commanders as well once they come out. Maybe a nice bounce back spot for Brian Robinson after he averaged less than 2 yards a carry in this game. We'll definitely see what happens there, but it's going to be pretty heavy on the props. Marvin Harrison, most unrealized air yards of week three, so maybe he gets loose for, you know, a big downfield play in this one. But big heavy on the props. I'm not going to bet this thing from a side or total.
Yeah, love it. I was going to say Marvin Harrison Jr. too, every other week is different, right? So maybe this week is he explodes again there with Kyler Murray. All right, Jake, Commanders and Cardinals, end us here.
Yeah, I'll play Arizona here. That's what I'm looking at. I love the dip. You know, Washington gives up 450 yards and their power rating goes up according to Vegas odds makers. So I am all in on that. Hopefully we'll get some defensive effort here from the opposition. Not an ideal spot for Washington going on the road on a short week, or on the road again. I'll figure out that trend later in the week on, you know, short week, back-to-back road games. Would assume it's pretty heavy fade. These defenses. I think that Arizona's is certainly better. I think Kyler is still better than Jaden Daniels in that offense. I think the Arizona offensive line is better. This line was 5.5. Now it's 3.5. I don't agree with that movement, just based on where it opened. So we'll see what the market does with this one. That this will be a play on for Arizona for me later in the week. If I have to lay 3.5, I probably will, but hoping I can get a 3 with some public love. Understandably coming in on the Commanders.
Yeah, this is just gonna probably be the most entertaining game of the week, but watch, it's like a 19-point total or something at the end. I mean, that's the way the NFL has been so far. You know, it's just crazy. All right, two ugly games in a row here. So we'll start with this one. Patriots visiting the 49ers. 49ers settled in here at -10. It went up for like a second there, 10.5, and now we're seeing it settle back down to 10 because of all their damn injuries. Totals at 39.5. I mean, Javon Hargrave is now out for the 49ers. Dre Greenlaw has already been out. You know, so you can argue that on every unit of San Francisco's defense is really like only one bona fide star now. You know, used to be multiple on every unit of their defense. And, you know, just making mistakes, right? I mean, San Francisco fans can't believe that they blew that game against the Rams. That was a lot about Matthew Stafford, but you can't blow that if you're the 49ers. And now here come the Patriots to town, which maybe the Patriots are going to wake up this week. I just really don't know what to think about this one, guys. I strongly lean to the under because I can see this being like a 27-7 type of affair. But I also still lean San Francisco because you're getting Shanahan off of a loss, off of an embarrassing loss. And the Patriots sure as hell didn't look like they wanted to play last time they were on the field. Go right back to you, Jake Circus, Niners and Patriots.
I mean, I expect the 10 to get hit in favor of the dog. Maybe like all, I don't want to, like, I will, if it's 10.5, like I need 10.5 to play New England here. But you know, I like the mini buy here and against a hobbled team. I mean, now Purdy's back is, you know, cramping up. Debo's not going to play in this game. They're hopeful Kittle practices, which is not a good sign. You know, Hargrave is a big loss. That was the, you know, big addition last year. And now you're using a pretty inexperienced front. I mean, outside of Nick Bosa and Leonard Floyd, this is a team that's really reliant on pass rushing depth and, you know, constantly rotating guys in to, you know, keep their motors high. And we haven't really seen this Niners team with not much depth up front ever. I mean, again, they're on a new defensive coordinator. So there are some wrinkles here with this defense that is some cause for real concern. New England's not the team to beat them, but 10.5, if I can get it, sure, I'll play it.
It's a lot of points for week four, especially with all those injuries. Sam, 49ers and Patriots.
Yeah, this is definitely a little bit of a stay away game. Funny enough, the biggest dog of every week has won outright so far, which is very funny to me. I don't think the Patriots are going to win this football game, but you know, who knows what could happen. I do think that this is finally the game that everything catches up to Jacoby Brissett and he takes the one hit that just knocks him out. I think this is the defense that'll do it to him. It would be pretty funny just to see, you know, or not funny, just sad kind of to see him continue to take hits and just continue to stay in there. I think one of these, he's just going to stay down. We're finally going to see Drake May, you know, have some prolonged, playing time here. I think, you know, this is a good spot to take some Jacoby unders, as well as we've been kind of doing the first 3 weeks of the season. So it'll be interesting to see from that standpoint, but I have no interest in betting this from sides in total. I mean, this could be anywhere from a letdown spot for the 49ers to the Patriots just getting 40 hung on them.
I agree. Very, very high variance possibilities here. Matt Rutledge, Patriots and 49ers.
First double digit favorite of the season. I like the Niners. I know a lot of people are going to want to take the Patriots plus the points here. And there's probably, like, in your football brain and how I look at the game, I'm like, there's no way the Niners are going to win by double digits. But I have to take it. I mean, I just – if there's a lot of money coming in and a lot of bets coming in on the Patriots this weekend, I'm 100% going to be on the Niners minus 10.
Yeah, that could go down to 9.5 too, right? So very advantageous if you wait a little bit on that one. Okay, let's go Cleveland at Vegas. Vegas is 1 point chalk. The line has actually moved. I believe Cleveland opened up as the favorite. I don't see it right here in front of me now. But Vegas is now a very slight favorite, and total is at 37. I mean, the Cleveland Browns, the reason why I bet on them last week against my Giants, because, you know, just throwing my Giants in the dumpster fire that I thought they were against the Cleveland defense. But it was the Giants defense that took over that one in a lot of ways. But, you know, the Cleveland defense did step up. They shut down the Giants in the second half. Giants didn't score a point. Giants did move the ball a lot, though. So I do think this is a good spot for Cleveland to come back and, you know, regress. I mean, this is the better roster still at the end of the day, in my opinion. Now, you know, Deshaun, you got to stay away from those massage parlors and all the other, you know, temptations that are going to be there in Vegas. But as long as that happens, I think the Browns are in a good position here. But very interesting line movement, so easy one to stay away from as well. Matt Rutledge, go right back to you. Deshaun Watson and the Browns going to Vegas.
I know I started this game, but it was a complete mistake. I want nothing to do with the Raiders. I mean, you go and play the Ravens in Baltimore and win, and you come back at home and get embarrassed by Carolina. Like, I just – this is a team I want nothing to do with. Actually, no touchdown score. That's my bet in this game.
No touchdown scored from the Raiders?
Yep. Nah, either Mark. Team.
Oh. That would be – what's the odds on that?
I don't know. It's got to be like 100.
Yeah.
It's got to be a couple shekels.
Very, very possible bet. Although I do think Deshaun Watson will actually do a thing or two this week. But You know, he did have some good plays last week, by the way. I mean, he's starting to become a little bit of that Deshaun Watson that we saw, but certainly not enough. And, you know, Giants defense are not world beaters, I promise. So that's a little concerning there. Sam, Cleveland and Vegas.
Yeah, no real thoughts on this game. I would probably lean the Raiders here. We know they want to run the ball. Cleveland kind of just got exposed running the ball. They've given up the 10th most explosive rushes in the NFL this season. You know, if you can get run on by Devin Singletary, you can kind of get run on by anybody, even Zamir White and Alexander Mattison. So I would lean Vegas in this spot. You know, Davante Adams, best player on the field still. You know, what Brock Bowers can do. And I just have no confidence in Deshaun Watson. Just the worst quarterback in EPA per dropback of the last 20 seasons for the Cleveland Browns. And I can't believe I just said that. Like, I can't believe that's actually a real statistic, you know, with how bad the Browns quarterbacks have been, that Watson, the guy who's getting paid $230 million, is the worst one out of all of them. So that's sad.
Yeah, maybe we should just do it like an alt podcast at some point, talking about the worst deals ever. That is absolutely up there, right?
I mean, you won't like that, Chris. I'm sorry, you will not like that, and you know why.
Well, don't you bring up Saquon again, Sam?
No. I was going to bring up Daniel Jones.
Yeah. Well, hey, if you're saying that the Giants have made some administrative mistakes for the past decade, you are correct, sir. All right, let's go to Jake Circus. Finish us off here, Browns Raiders.
I mean, this normally would be a catch the falling knife game for either team, but what knife is there really to catch? Because both these teams are off of just terrible performances. I still think Cleveland's a better team. DVOA agrees. But man, like, it's a much better matchup for the offense because is it though? Because the Raiders pass rush is very similar to the Giants pass rush, and the Browns offensive line just had no idea what they were doing that whole game. I mean, Watson, like, as bad as Watson has been, there was nothing he could have done in that game with Lawrence and Williams just constantly in their faces. I think they combined for like 9 million pressures. Browns are still without their tackles. I think Wills got re-injured, and he's been terrible the last year and a half when he's been out there. So some crazy offensive line problems for Cleveland with an offensive line that's historically been good in this regime the last couple of years. So no interest here. But this normally would be a buy low spot, but both teams are pretty low in the market. I don't know who to buy low on.
Jack Conklin took a step back too last Friday, so maybe he doesn't play too. I mean, a lot of problems on that Cleveland offensive line for sure. Very, you know what? Matt Rutledge, you might be onto something here with your new touchdown bet. I'll tell you. All right, let's go. Kansas City at the Chargers. Justin Herbert, big TBD, I guess. He avoided a major injury, but man, are they going to roll him out there again after what just happened? Kansas City is now up to, I mean, you can get -8 to -9. Got to shop around there if you like KC, or I guess, or if you like the Chargers to get a better line. I'll just say this, you know, and I know we got to start to wrap things up here, boys, but Jim Harbaugh. It took years with Michigan because there's a huge talent disparity in college football, right? There's not as much of a talent disparity in the NFL. This is the kind of game where I think just Harbaugh gets the boys rolling and they keep it tight. The Chiefs could have lost every game so far. And of course, it's a lot of Patrick Mahomes doing great things. There's some very questionable things going on in those games as well. I have a strong lean to the Chargers here, as gross as that is. Eventually, KC's luck has to run out a little bit here. And the good thing about the Chargers is they really don't turn over the ball. They turned it over twice in Week 2 and have not turned it over in the other two games. So playing that very disciplined style of football that is reminiscent of Jim Harbaugh. All right, let's go to Sam, Kansas City and Chargers. What do you got here?
Yeah, I'm with you here. I'm going to lean towards the Chargers in this spot. The Chiefs on the road in LA against a pure football guy and Jim Harbaugh. I do think that the Chargers find a way to keep this game close, whether or not Herbert plays. You know, they can kind of do ball control with the running game. I am a little bit worried about the offensive line for them. Both Rashawn Slater and Joe Alt are going to miss some time. Alt sprained his MCL, and I'm not exactly sure what happened to Slater. I want to say it was shoulder issues pectoral with him. Okay, pec. So I think both will probably miss this game, which is definitely not the best thing when you have Chris Jones there lining up over the middle and on the edges, but we could definitely see like some weirdness happen here. Kansas City has managed to bungle games that they should host plenty, and the Chargers have managed to stay in games plenty that they should, you know, lose big. So I'm tempted to lean towards the Chargers here. I'm not going to be playing that, you know, just yet. I would kind of want to see how the week plays out as well.
Yeah, I should mention too that I strongly lean to the under here, and that might actually be an official bet for me here very soon. We're seeing a little bit of movement there, but that's at 39-40, depending on where you look. I think this is going to be a very defensive game between these two teams. Even with Patrick Mahomes, you could see this being like a 17-14 type of affair. Matt Rutledge, I believe you're finishing us. Do we go to Jake yet? I'm losing track of everything. Jake, you already talked about this, right?
I have not.
Oh, you haven't? Okay, you go.
Yeah, real quick, I completely misspoke on the Giants. I said Leonard Williams and Dexter Lawrence. I meant Brian Burns, but anyways, we can move on. So
you got a few good guys there. Hey, that's the one area of the Giants where you can talk positively about. Go ahead.
I mean, they pressured Deshaun Watson 19 times in week three. So, yeah, problems there. This is a Chargers spot. I just don't know who's available for them in terms of the star player department because Herbert's hurt. We think he's going to be okay and be a full go this game. Who was their backup? Because it's not Easton Stick anymore. Who came in and played for them?
It was what's his name? Heinicke.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's right.
Taylor Heinicke.
It's fun. It's kind of fun.
Yeah. like I mean, just for football purposes, I expect and hope Herbert's good to go, but Bosa got banged up. We'll see if he practices or if he's limited today. Slater and Alt expected to be out as Sam said. So that is a big concern, because the interior of this Chargers offensive line was horrid and they were just, their bookend tackles were really good and now they're both hurt. So it's another year from hell for the Chargers, it seems like, in terms of the injury department. So I have no interest in playing them +8. This is the Mahomes spot where you fade him as a touchdown plus dog. He's less than 40% in his career in this spot covering. I just don't know if I can do it. I just schematically, just from a football perspective, which normally, like, I just normally rely on my handicapping of, you know, spot based situationally, and situationally it's a great spot for the Chargers. Off of a loss, I have not been impressed with the Chiefs, but just the availability aspect of it, I don't know how I'm going to get there.
All right, Matt Rutledge, finish us off here, Chiefs and Chargers.
I lean Chargers for sure. No official bet. I'll probably place another teaser this week, and Chargers will probably be in there because I don't think they lose by double digits at home. So I think it's a good teaser spot for the Chargers, but other than that, nothing.
Yeah, especially what's anticipated being a low game. You get up to, what, like a 15 there? Which I know you're not going through key numbers, but maybe in a game like this, it's advantageous. Okay, let's go Buffalo and Baltimore. Baltimore is a Sunday night game. They're hosting and they're 2.5-point favorites. Totals at 46.5. One thing I'll say here is Baltimore, you know, they're 0-2, couldn't figure out how to win games. And then they destroyed Dallas in the first three quarters, which, again, beckons the question, is that impressive? Because the Cowboys look like they are an absolute mess right now. I do not want to step in front of the Buffalo Bills in any way. For what I saw, got a little stat here. The Buffalo Bills, after the first half of week one, have outscored opponents 104-31. So Buffalo Bills are running hot right now. I know Baltimore is a tough place to play, but I have a lean to Buffalo here. And as long as it, I mean, I would love it if it went up to 3, but I don't see that happening. So this is probably the best number you're going to catch, around 2.5 on the Bills. Should be a very good Sunday night football game. I'm local here in Baltimore. People are going to love it, but I think they might be in line for disappointment here. Matt Rutledge, Bills and Ravens, what do you say?
I'm in the same boat, but I'm super biased because I was on the Cowboys last week and I'm a Steeler fan. So can't say much to that, but
yeah.
I'm not betting the game. I lean Bills though.
Okay, Jake, you might have some bias here because you're a Bengals fan. Maybe you don't want the Ravens to win. You think the Ravens can show up here and take care of business at home against this Bills team right now?
Yeah, I'll jump in line to go up against Buffalo Bills. Sure thing. I'm shocked that this line didn't drop. It did a little bit. I'm seeing a juice 1.5 on FanDuel. But I think it's still pretty consensusly 2.5, which is what it was last night. So I think there's some resistance to you know, maybe even putting Baltimore as a dog here, or certainly maybe even a pick 'em. this is the Lamar spot. It was the spot last week, like under a field goal, dog or favorite. That's when you buy Lamar. He's done so well over the course of his career in terms of covering the spread, winning these games outright. I think there's some good advantages for Baltimore here. I can argue they're undervalued after two losses where they should have been 2-0 in those games. Probably should be 3-0 if Isaiah Likely's foot was like an inch shorter, I think is how that normally works. So I'll be on Baltimore here, hopefully maybe an unjuiced 1.5, but very interested to see where this market goes, because I mean, I expect public to be all over Buffalo here after, you know, deservingly so. They look again the darling DVOA team, where for the millionth straight year they're now after week three number one in DVOA again. So we'll see if, you know, this is the year they can get over the hump. But in terms of this week in a primetime spot, I'll take the home team on at a short price.
Yeah, this is the year that I thought the Buffalo Bills were going to start to regress a little bit too. Yeah. Boy, have I been wrong so far. Yeah. Sam, finish us off. Baltimore and Buffalo.
Yeah, I'm with the others here. Baltimore kind of feels like the spot. I'm going to be looking at Justice Hill receiving props 100% here. The Bills are actually allowing the third most receiving yards per game to running backs. And we all know Justice Hill loves to catch some balls out of the backfield, two catches in every game so far, obviously six in the opener against Kansas City in a game that could definitely mirror game script wise here for Buffalo and Baltimore. So I really like looking at Justice Hill and his receiving yards. He's been very, very involved in the game script every single week for Baltimore.
All right. I like it, boys. A lot of support there for Baltimore. Very interesting. We'll see where that spread settles, but I think you're right, Jake, right? The public is going to like Buffalo. So maybe we see some upwards movement, or I'm sorry, some downwards movement. You can get an even better line on the Ravens right before kickoff in that one. Something to look out for maybe Sunday evening. Okay. Titans and Dolphins really, I mean, this is turning into a
bench game.
Yeah. Really terrible game here. This is minus one. I mean, the spread is all over the place. I see pick 'em plus one, minus one. My brain is about to explode about this one too, because on the one hand, I do think you could have a Titans team that just matches up well against the Dolphins. We saw that last year. Will Levis beat the Dolphins at Miami? That was a very strange game. But again, that was also the Mike Vrabel Titans, right? Like the Titans are finding ways to shoot themselves in the foot every single week. It's really gross. For some reason, I bet on them again in week three. Like, Jesus, that was not a good result. But then on the other end, Mike McDaniel's head is on a swivel, guys. I mean, this guy is going to be torn up in the media all week, right? So I think Miami probably brings their best effort. Miami now catching plus one at some books. So I think they make a fine teaser leg, if nothing else. Let's go to Sam first. Titans and Dolphins in this crappy game. What do you say?
Good spot to pick on some running back props for the Titans running backs here. Miami's one of the more run funnel defenses in the league. 10th most explosive rushes, 6th most rushing yards allowed to running backs, and the second worst defense against running backs for fantasy wise. So definitely a spot there. I agree with you. This game's gross. Like I could see Levis just completely bombing this game away, like somehow in the way that he's done. And at the same time, I don't want to rely on either Skylar Thompson or Tim Boyle in this game. So I don't like any of the quarterbacks here. I don't like either of these teams. I'll take props all day, and I'll probably lean towards the rushing side of things here for Tennessee.
Yeah, bad. Jake Circus.
I mean, this is a crazy revenge game, right? The Titans literally like ruined the Dolphins playoff chances. I mean, Dolphins were a 14-point favorite in the Monday night game. Pretty much the same spot here, where a win would give them, I believe, a 3-game division lead with like 4 weeks left, and they lost outright as a 14-point favorite. So we get some revenge here. It's not Tua. It'll be Skylar Thompson. I have nothing here. Man, the Titans have... the Titans.
Yeah, they are extremely frustrating.
I think they're a well-coached team. I just don't know how long that Will Levis leash can be extended
right
at this point.
Yeah, Bill Callahan deserves better, I think. Matt Relidge, end us in this one.
Jake, we're not taking the Titans again? Like, I think might as well, like, Might as well take the Titans here. I'm probably going to play them. I've lost two bets on them already this year, but I think it's a good spot. I think, you know, this Will Levis, I don't know if he's going to have a job at the end of the season, but I think this is a game where you kind of have to win as 0-3 and you're playing one of the worst teams in the AFC. I think, you know, this kind of save your job kind of game. And I'm going to keep losing bets on the Titans. So Titans money line, there we go.
So, you're going to parlay the Titans and your no touchdowns and the brand, the Browns. That might be the way to go. just get it as gross as possible, Matt. You might as well. All right, let's go. Final game of the slate. Thank you for hanging with us, everybody. The NFL Roundtable will be available via podcast and YouTube as well later today. And big thank you to Sam Wagman at Swagman95. Follow him on Twitter and follow us, everybody on this show, at Jake Circus and @ERSurgery_ on Twitter as well. Okay, Seahawks going to the Lions. Last year, that was a barn burner there that went into overtime, I believe. Seattle pulled it out. I think that was week 2 or week 3 last season. I don't think the Lions forget that game, right? Lions probably still wanting to exact revenge on Seattle, but I do think this is one of those situations where the Seahawks just might match up really well against the Lions once again. I was hoping to take an under on this one, but I'm seeing, actually, the total's starting to steam up a little bit again. I'm seeing 47 and 47.5. It was down to 46 at one point. I do think this is going to be a little more defensive than people expect. Was really impressed by the Lions' defense last week. They really stepped up and took that game over because the offense kind of sputtered in the second half. And, you know, Seattle, right, you know, you're seeing it now on both sides of the ball. You know, obviously taking on a very injured Miami Dolphin team last week, but they're winning and they're finding ways to win every week. I have a strong lean to Seattle, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to take the under. I'm going to wait a little bit because I think it could tick up even a little bit more in this one. Jake, I know you might have to go soon, so let me just go to you first. Seattle and Detroit.
Yeah, I'm going to just quick thoughts and then best bet and then get out of here. I think Detroit's the best team in the NFL. I'll be on them all year. You know, they have not played their best. Some injuries, but you know, I don't know if I'll get there with them in this spot just because of, you know, the injuries to the linebackers, and then McNeil left the game, so like we'll see. They're a little shorthanded for this one, but I you know, if they win shorthanded, it's even more impressive. Again, I think they're the best team in the NFL. I think they're gonna make the Super Bowl out of the NFC, and I love them. Danny covers, so just trust Danny in this spot. I don't know if I'll get there at 4, maybe some public moves down to 3.5, 3. But Danny covers is the way to go. And then before I leave, best bet, Falcons -1.5.
All right. Leaning on that Falcons. Oh, God, love it. I love it. I'm a Falcons guy this week too. All right. Let's go over to Sam. Seahawks and Lions.
I really like the Lions in this spot. You know, one of the things that's gone under the radar for this Seahawks offense is that, you know, everyone looks at what Washington did last year with Penix and the receivers, and, you know, it's throw, throw, throw. But the core of Grubb's offense is that he wants to have a great running game. And they have that. They have Kenneth Walker when he's healthy, and Charbonnet looked really good last week as well. Here's the problem. The Lions are the best rushing defense in the NFL. They're holding teams to an average of 46 yards a game on the ground on 16 attempts. It's 2.8 yards per carry. It's absolutely like scary hours out here. And, you know, even when teams are throwing, the Lions are not that bad. They're, you know, middle of the pack in defense there. So my worry is that the Seahawks cannot sustain drives long enough to get points on the board in this game. And that if the Lions are able to put some points on the board, it could get out of hand really quickly here. So I'm going to be taking the Lions -4 here as an official bet for myself. I really like the Lions in the spot. And I do think they're one of the best teams in the NFL as well with Jake.
Yeah, I do too. They have not. I mean, week to week, right? You see their defense kind of letting down. Then you see their offense letting down. It hasn't all come together yet. Of course, higher expectations there for Detroit heading into the season. So maybe that's part of it. All right, Monday Night Football, the final game of the week. Matt Rutledge, what do you got?
I'm probably going to be in the Lions too. I'm going to wait for this game since it's Monday night, but I'll probably be in the Lions too. I think this is a good get right spot in a game where they could win by 10-15 and actually look like a Super Bowl team. I lean Lions, but nothing yet for me.
All right. I'm the only one showing a little Seahawks love in this one. I think this could be a rematch in the playoffs too. Okay. final segment of the show. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. You made it through an hour and 34 minutes. We can't help but go 90 minutes on the show every week. But again, the 16 games, I say it every week. It's a lot to talk about. Boys, your best bet of week four. Give it to us. We'll start with you, Sam.
I'm going to go with Devin Singletary over 14 and a half for his longest rush. He's done it in each of the last two games. Obviously, week one was a little bit iffy against the Brian Flores defense of Minnesota there, but he got there in each of the last two games against Cleveland. And I'm blanking against the Washington Commanders there. Going up against the Cowboys, remember what I said, they are one of the worst rushing defense in the NFL this year. They've given up the most explosive rushes, 17 rushes of 10 plus yards, and they're giving them up at the highest rate as well. 29% of their rushes allowed are over 10 yards. It's really bad out here. And again, this is a Giants offensive line that is really good at run blocking. So, you know, in a system where the Cowboys are seeing a lot of zone rushes and can't get anywhere against them, and then you have a Giants offense that is running a lot of inside zone as well, I think give me Devin Singletary there. I think this is a spot where, you know, he could easily have a few, 15 plus yard carries in this one. So I really like him. He's going to be ranked pretty highly among running backs for me. Might make it into my top 15 running backs.
Yeah, and he's very clearly the number one back for the Giants. I will just say, look out for Tyrone Tracy, who's a young guy, very explosive. Throughout the season, he might show up a little bit more. You might get some very low numbers on
him. He needs to learn how to play running back, though. He only has like 30 carries at the running back position in his career.
Yeah, so yeah. Finding those
definitely
holes.
Definitely something I noted.
Yeah. He's not. Devin Singletary is a professional running back. Like, you can tell the difference in the way they run the ball. Yeah. Okay, Matt Rutledge, what is your best bet of week four?
I already stated it. I'm with you again. The Cardinals Commanders over 50 and a half, which is scary because the last time we both had the same best bet, it was Tennessee Titans week one. So I don't know. I just think, you know, these games have been really, really low scoring this season. And this is the highest total this week. 3 weeks in a row, we've seen the highest total go way under. So I love points in this game. I'm probably going to have two units on that.
Yeah, you know, it feels like the only thing stopping that bet is if Jaden Daniels all of a sudden sucks. And I think we know last night, like, he's going to prolong these plays. Yeah, I mean, they have him moving behind center. He looks fantastic. And I think that's the rookie of the year, folks. You know what? I'll give out two because I'm going to go bro to bro with Matt. We're going to do the over in that game. But I'm also going to go bro to bro with Jake Cirkus. I'm taking the Atlanta Falcons minus 1.5. That is my best bet of the week. And Sam, love the marriage, the love between NFC East teams. You took a Giants bet as your favorite bet of the week.
I did.
Of course it is against the Cowboys.
and that game is the only one that has prop lines out. So I am limited, but you know, I'm taking what I have and I'm going with a lean that I have that's pretty strong there.
I love it. Pretty much everybody on this show has found ways to still win, except for your host here, Chris Farley, at Farley Bets. We'll be back next week on the NFL Roundtable. You can expect better things from me for the rest of the season. At least I think so anyway. You can probably expect more volatility. Want to give a very special thanks to Sam for joining us today on the NFL Roundtable. Hopefully you can join us again this season. Again, follow him at Swagman95. For Chris and Matt Rutledge, follow him at ERSurgery_ and Jake Cirkus. The NFL Roundtable will be back next week. Let's win some damn money, folks. We're out of here.